This is Todd Sommerfeld. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS in Crookston, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you the update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear reports from Tyler Donaldson and Whitney Pittman. Well, it's crop report day today. We'll get the March supply demand report out at 11 o'clock this morning. Average trade estimate, not expecting USDA to make any big adjustments. Average trade estimate for corn ending stocks in the U.S., 2.15 billion bushels. Soybean ending stocks expected to be up about 4 million from last month to around 319 million. South American production will probably get the most attention. Analysts are expecting USDA to lower Brazil's corn production by about 2 million metric tons, and Brazil's soybean production is expected to be lowered around 3.5 million tons. They're expecting corn production to come in right around 122 million and soybean production at 151.6. Top Third Ag Marketing Senior Risk Manager Dan Smith says there are a few problems in the grain markets, with corn holding the spotlight yesterday.
No, I think this will be a real boring report. Maybe some movement on the supply and demand side with exports, imports, cattle on feed, that type of thing, ethanol grind. But we're not looking for any major moves. The big report will come out on the 28th, and our stocks report, of course, the acreage report, which is an ongoing battle right now with corn. Are we 92 plus? Are we 88? That's the question. We're getting some farmer surveys come in, but the one that will really matter is what the USDA puts out on the 28th.
Total Farm Marketing Market Advisor John Heinberg said the grains saw some strength in the board.
Still focusing on the weather in South America. We got some talk that maybe you could see some drying coming into the second half of that growing season. That could help that corn market out a little bit, because that Safrina corn or that second crop corn is that key exportable corn. So that's something we're going to have to keep an eye on there, as well as, what you know, as we get further into spring, what's going on with U.S. weather. Drought monitor maps still show a pretty big chunk of dry areas that may be getting some rain this weekend, but at the same time, you know, we're getting closer to spring and we really need to see some moisture materialize. I mean, we're not anywhere near a weather market yet, and where we are in price, there's not a lot of premium put into this.
Xcel Energy releasing a statement saying that their facilities played a role in causing the wildfires that are sweeping through the Texas Panhandle, but the company disputes claims that they acted negligently in maintaining and operating the infrastructure. Texas A&M Forest Service investigators concluding that downed power lines ignited the Smokehouse Creek fires, which so far have burned nearly 17,000 square miles, destroyed as many as 500 structures. Estimates as of this past Wednesday had that fire up to 44% contained, and you can go to texasfarmbureau.org to find out where to help with relief efforts. American Carbon Alliance continuing to add new members in the upper Midwest. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has more.
American Carbon Alliance CEO Tom Bias says ethanol plants and other organizations are looking to ACA as a way to advance carbon smart markets.
Alliance of like-minded groups and entities that want to see rural America play a part as we go forward in our energy future. And so we have just started a few months ago, but now we continue to add new members who also want to see those types of developments. Again, you know, we can sit here and hope for a marketplace, or we can get out and help develop one. And that's what the pipeline really does, lowering that carbon index.
Bias says that many organizations working toward a common goal can be a benefit to farmers and the next generation.
A lot of the ethanol plants in that footprint have signed up as members, and recently we've added a lot. We have a lot of trade associations that, again, our goal wasn't to compete with anyone. It's to align with them and everybody kind of rowing in the same direction in order to successfully develop new markets here in the Midwest. Because, you know, there's nobody that works harder than farmers, and to get a profit from the marketplace is absolutely essential to keep those farms and those families and being able to move forward.
Reporting agriculture's business, I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Low-carbon fuels legislation is being watched closely in the state legislatures. CHS Director of State Government Affairs Jake Hamlin says there are no concerns at the moment.
We don't necessarily have concerns right now. I think it's continuing to monitor bill introductions and proposals as they are considered in the committee process throughout the legislature. Most recently this week, Senate Transportation Chair Scott Dibble had an informational hearing on the clean transportation standard. Very well attended, great conversation around the amendment that he presented, and then significant testimony by proponents and opponents related to the clean transportation standard.
Groundwater nitrate levels, though, are one area that does have the spotlight on it in the Minnesota legislature.
Your reference to nitrates, that is something that essentially does have a specific spotlight on it right now, and incredible work being done essentially by the agencies, by the Department of Agriculture, by PCA, and by the Department of Health to create a response based on the EPA petition, and then partner candidly with our Minnesota organizations, whether that be corn, soy, and other organizations, to develop a response to the position and be able to align on mitigation strategies going forward.
Bayer's carbon and nitrogen programs are expanding to cover wider areas and more crops. Bayer agronomist Tyler Williams says the expanded eligibility has provided more opportunities for producers to help their sustainability and their bottom lines.
We're rolled up to 28 states now, and it's up to 12 crops. And so really kind of expanding the opportunities geographically as well as within the farm system of what works for a farmer. Eligibility has always been one of those things. It's like, oh, I'm not eligible, right? And a lot of times it's crop rotation or location. And so we've really opened that up to hopefully fit a lot of operations. We've also dipping our toe a little bit into our nitrogen management program. Right now we're rolling it out that if someone signs up in our program for no-till, strip-till, or cover crops, on corn in particular, they can use a nitrification inhibitor and reduce some of their nitrogen use, and they could get paid a per-acre payment for that as well. So,
side benefit of the programs is helping farmers with crop rotation and entering new crop markets.
So we have always had corn, soybeans, and wheat, and so we added sorghum, rye, millet, dry beans, peas, lentils, chickpeas, and then barley. Yeah, so we've added a number of the grasses as well as the legumes, which really helps some of those operations that kind of rotate to that every few years, just kind of pull something in when the market hits. And so the systems are getting better at enabling more crops and enabling more farms, and I think that's only a good thing.
Fiscal year 2023 was another good one for CHS Ag Services. General Manager and Senior Director of Operations Ryan Anderson says the amount of patronage paid back is a good story.
Ag Services had a strong year in fiscal year 23. We're going to pay back $21 million of patronage to the country. So really excited for our owners to receive those payments. And when you can pay back patronage to the level of almost what we made last year, our earnings were $21.8 million, and we're paying back $21 million of that. That's just a cool story.
Anderson says the co-op structure is paying big dividends to its member owners.
We've got our local business that performs, but we've also are fortunate to take advantage of our business on the corporate side. We've got pass-through tons on fertilizer that our owners are taking advantage of. We've got on the energy side, and we've got it on the CPP side, being that we own our old wholesale business. So our growers are reaping the benefits of that, which is just really cool.
USDA's weekly export sales report for the week ending February 29 showed corn export sales at 1.1 million metric tons. That is 11% less than the previous week, 7% below the four-week average. No new crop corn sales were announced. Combined old and new crop soybean sales of 679,000 metric tons, way above the previous week, over 300% actually, and the also over almost 200% more than the four-week average. Combined old and new crop wheat export sales totaling 335,000 metric tons, 4% more than the previous week, 3% less than the four-week average. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Autonomous vehicles aren't just on our roads. They're also in our fields, working and managing farms. For more, we go to Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson.
New lines of autonomous tractors and harvesters are being announced almost daily. And for the modern farmer, that can mean less time behind the wheel and more time focusing on other things. But knowing just how these machines work and understanding the technologies behind them can be a bit confusing. Nodar COO and co-founder Brad Rosen points to a technology called StereoVision and looks to highlight why it's so important in this new autonomous age of farming.
So StereoVision, and you can think about StereoVision, it's the idea of having two images and comparing them. If you close one of your eyes and then the other, you'll see the scene shifts left and right as you do that. And that shift from left to right is related to the angles at which your eye is looking at the scene. You can imagine putting, say, on a harvester, you know, just two cameras up high on the front and looking forward. And those two cameras are producing a 3D picture as the vehicle moves through the field. Those data combined with object recognition technology can enable that harvester to be operated autonomously without a driver.
StereoVision's use goes beyond just autonomously driving the vehicles.
One application which uses StereoVision today is spout alignment. That alignment can be done using stereo cameras. And the reason stereo is really good for that is that it's vibration resilient and it operates quite well in the face of dust. And it's very, very accurate.
Though these technologies can be a bit expensive, they can also help save farmers money.
John Deere has this new sprayer product that is autonomous. It's got like 40 pairs of stereo cameras all the way along the boom, and it's assessing the very precise shape of the plants and the land, and then it's spraying fertilizer, not all over the place, but right on the plants that need it. And so the ROI is quite obvious in that case because it's saving literally tons of fertilizer because it's being so precise about the spraying.
That was Nodar COO and co-founder Brad Rosen. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Checking markets before we leave you this morning, we're seeing wheat Minneapolis up a penny, Chicago wheat's two higher, Kansas City May wheat up a quarter of a penny. May corn is down 3.5, July corn down 3.25, new crop December is down a penny. May soybeans down a penny, August soybeans are up a half, and November soybeans are unchanged. Canola is up about $2 a metric ton here this morning. On the farm calendar, North Dakota Winter Show continuing through the Sunday, and it'll be at Valley City at the Winter Show grounds. National Farmers Union's 122nd anniversary convention kicks off this weekend. At Scottsdale Plaza Resort, Scottsdale, Arizona. That begins on the 10th, goes out through the 12th. And be listening for reports from that, from the Red River Farm Network. Also, coming up on March 12th, the Getting It Right Canola Production Virtual Meeting from 8:30 until noon. Well, thanks for joining us this morning. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.